佛第一个文殊菩萨开始问佛的境界，然后到众生的无明，然后到我们应该怎么修行，应该用什么方法，应该找什么样的老师，会有什么样的禅定然后会有什么样的执着，全部都讲完了。那接下来呢，这个我们这部经叫做圆觉经，那圆觉菩萨却在最后才出来那他有他很重要的意义。他问的问题其实是在总结，为我们凡夫众生总结一下我们能做什么，然后才能够在佛不在的时候呢一样可以圆觉，就是一样可以开悟成佛。 So today we are going to talk about the question and answer from Bodhisattva of Complete Enlightenment. And he is the 11th Bodhisattva show up and raise questions in this sutra. In total, we have 12 Bodhisattva, and we spend a whole year to talk about this sutra. And this month is November. Next week is going to be Thanksgiving. So Christmas is coming soon. So today is my last second talk about this sutra. And if you can recall, in the beginning of the sutra, we talk about what the Buddha attained in the beginning, asked by Bodhisattva Manjushri. And all the way, Bodhisattva asked question about, how we can practice, what kind of ignorance we have, and what kind of teacher, what kind of method we can use, and, what teacher we can follow, and what kind of sickness we will have, and what attachment we had. So this Bodhisattva of Complete Enlightenment, this sutra is actually named after the Complete Enlightenment. So there is a reason, because Bodhisattva of Complete Enlightenment asked the question that are most important and useful for we ordinary sentient beings in the Dharma ending age. 那圆觉菩萨呢听到前面十个菩萨问的问题之后呢，他就起来问佛说，那佛，您圆寂了以后我们要怎么在日常生活中修行？好，那之前佛介绍的三种方法哪一种最好？有佛在的时候就像我们一样，有师父在的时候呢，好像什么都有一个准则，反正师父说什么做了就对了。那没有师父在的时候呢，那很多事情就会大家有不同的意见，有不同的做法，而且时代一直演变，我们不可能维持在佛的时代或是师父的时代的时候的做法，因为即便佛在世的时候也随着因缘在调整一些方法。那同样的，对我们这些信众来讲，师父不在了，有些步伐需不需要调整呢？很多的问题就会出来了那对于我们修行人来讲，最重要的是说佛不在世的时候，不再指导我们修行的时候呢，那我们日常生活中要怎么修行？我们到底要怎么修？那当然最重要的，很多人都会同样的问题，只要是方法超过一种，大家就会问哪一种最好。但是只要有一种方法，只有一种方法的时候，大家就问还有没有别种，因为可能学不来这样所以这两个方法就这两个问题对我们来讲就非常的贴切，非常的重要。So what's the question raised by Bodhisattva of Complete Enlightenment? He asked, after hearing all the 10 Bodhisattva's questions and Buddha's answer, he asked Buddha, after you enter Nirvana, after you are no longer with us? How can we practice in the daily life? This is a very important question, especially when Buddha is not with us anymore. And just like Shifu, when Shifu was still alive, everything is okay. You know, once Shifu say, whatever Shifu say, we just follow. No question and no debate. But after Shifu passed away, and our world keeps changing. So how can we adapt our step or adapt our practice in the daily life is become an issue for us to discuss. And same thing happened to Buddha. Even in the Buddha's ages, Buddha always adjust the method he taught and the way he lead the Sangha according to the causes and conditions. So Bodhisattva of complete enlightenment ask, you know, how can we practice in daily life? And the second question is, if you can recall that Buddha introduced us three methods that we can practice. And the Bodhisattva is now asking, which is the best? Okay, just like us, you know, if only one method is introduced, then we will ask, is any more? If more than one method are introduced, then we will ask, which one is best? Okay, sometimes people ask, you know, Theravada, Tibetan, Chinese Chan, and which one is better? The same attitude. We always want the best to start with. So next we will divide it in the talk into the two parts to explain what the sutra says. 那在这个经文之中，今天的这个 talk 呢，就会分成这两个主要的主题来分享那个经文里面是怎么讲的哈，还有师父是怎么说的。那修行哦。修行到底是什么？那我们一般来讲有分，一个是在日常生活中的修行，就是有工作的时候，那一个就是在精进修行。那日常生活就是我们一般的朝九晚五啊，就甚至一天24小时的生活都是我们日常生活。但是呢，所谓的精进的修行，就是说我们必须要在一个特定的地点，在一个特定的时期之内做一些特定的事情，这叫做精进的生活。那它通常是很密集的哈。那这两样的修行对我们来讲都非常重要，因为呢，我们不大可能每天都在 retreat 里面。好，那在日常生活中到底要怎么修行？经文上有讲到，他说若在其难安处途中有缘事故随分思察如我已说，他的意思就是说，如果我们有集体生活在一起，那所谓的集体在家里一个 family 也是一个集体嘛，那大到我们这个商家或是整个社会都是一个集体。那他说如果你有事要做，有缘事，你要照顾小孩，你要工作，然后你要做各式各样的事情，叫做有缘事故。那你就随分，就是比如说你走路的时候你就可以用方法嘛，对不对？你讲话的时候你可以提醒自己放松。那你今天如果说是在打字的时候，你也可以保持放松的姿势，就是随分，你只要能够有一些时间跟空档的时候呢，你就按照佛所指导的方法来修行，这是我们日常生活的原则。 OK, so our practice, we can divide it, our practice into two parts. The first part is in daily life. For example, we have to work, we have to exercise, vacations, and we go to school as wellYou walk, you sleep, all that is daily life. It is your daily life, and you can practice in your daily life. The other kind is we practice diligently For example, in the retreat. If we practice in the retreat means we have to practice in at certain place during certain period of time and with certain method. So we can practice diligently. And that's called retreat practice. Two kinds. And for our daily practice in the sutra, it says if we live in a groups, for example, your family is a group too. You have spouse, you have kids, and even your work is a group. Our soul society is a group too. So if you live with a group and you have something to do, you have a job and responsibilities to fulfill, that means you have things to do, then you have to practice according to your schedule. Practice whatever you can and whenever you can. For example, when you walk to the train station, you can do walking meditation, right? When you sit in your office, you can relax. When you type, you can keep a good posture, relax your whole mind, and then concentrate. And everything you can practice according to what Buddha taught in the sutra. You can calm your mind, you can concentrate, you can generate body-mind, and all that. You can observe, the impermanence, everything that you can do, just according to your schedule and do whatever you can. 那在师父呢，就把我们日常，其实在日常生活中哦，就是保持身体的放松跟平稳呢，它还算是比较容易的，好。可是呢，我们最重要在日常生活中要面对的呢，是我们的烦恼。也就是说，我们真正要修行的是我们的心。好，那我们的心要怎么修行？师父在书里面就提到说，其实我们修行人处理烦恼有三种层次。好 in the book, 师父 mentioned that, in daily life, if you want to keep your physical condition, in a relaxed and a good shape, that's much easier. But the daily practice, the most challenging one is to handle your vexation. In other words, to train your mind, practice your mind, so that you always can keep a peace harmony state. And Shifu said that for practitioners, there are three levels that we can handle our vexations. 那第一个层次就是我们刚修学，刚初学者。初学者呢，就是知道自己有烦恼。好，我们常常有时候打坐的时候，很多人在学打坐的时候，他都会说，我不打坐还好，为什么我一打坐杂念妄想就特别多？是不是打坐方法有问题啊？好，甚至连小时候的烦恼都会升起来，小时候的不愉快都会升起来，那是不是不打坐比较好？好，是这样吗？然后呢，有的人呢觉得说啊，我还没有成为佛教徒的时候，我觉得我是一个不错的人呢。可是我成为佛教徒哈，书一拿来看，哎呦，我这里也不对，那里也不对，而且我还有往昔的罪业，哇，那我简直是不是人哦，这样，那我就觉得怎么成为佛教徒开始修行之后，自己就变这么糟糕呢？那师父是讲说，那是因为我们以前根本就不知道我们自己处于烦恼之中，我们根本不知道我们自己做错事情，所以当我们一开始修行的时候，我们开始觉察了 我们的心行知道自己有烦恼，还是很正常的。 So the first level is beginner's level. When we start to practice, for example, when we start to learn meditation, a lot of people told us, you know, 法师, you know, I don't think I have such many, much wandering thought in my daily life. How come when I sit, so many wandering thought come up? Even, you know, even the story in my children's age, when I was little, things come out. And so is my method, I practice it wrong, or, you know, the method has problem? How come I should be peace and calm, you know, when I use the method? Why when I use the method, it's the opposite? And some Buddhists, they told us, you know, before they become Buddhists, they think they are very nice, genuine person. And why after become a Buddhist, and they found out that they did this wrong, and they even do a lot of bad things in the past lives, it sounds like they are not a good person anymore, and feel a lot of guilt. So what's the problem? And Sufu said that the problem is, when we start to practice, we start to know that we have vexations. So that's the first level of practitioners. You start to know that you have vexations, but you still don't know how to handle it. Your awareness is increased, but you still don't have the method to handle them. 所以呢，当我们知道，开始觉察到，觉知自己有烦恼，可是第一个层次的，我们初学者呢，就是知道有烦恼，可是我们却不知道怎么处理它。就像我们打坐，有烦恼，有妄想杂念，或是有情绪起来的时候，我们不知道怎么处理。那当我们在日常生活中真的遇到冤亲债主，真的是当下知道自己做错事情的时候，我们又满身的愧疚，不知道怎么处理，那种愧疚的心又延续了很久，不知道怎么处理。所以师父呢就鼓励我们啊，他说师父说我们初学者，在除烦恼的时候就有点像在拔杂草了，那个杂草有没有拔了又有，拔了又有，一直拔一直有，这样子，叫做什么春斩草不除根，春风吹又生，一直拔不完，那你就会很 frustrated， 太多了，还拔了两根，就又发现还有五根在旁边，就越拔越发现越多，所以你有时候会觉得很疲惫。那师父说，只要我们开始修行的时候，就是在种善根，只要我们一直努力的话，就会不断的真正走上修行之路。 So we don't know how to handle our vexation once we observe it. So for example, when we do sitting meditation, when we found that we have so many wandering thoughts, we have emotion come out, we don't know how to handle it. And in the daily life, we make mistakes. We know we make mistakes. We feel guilt. We regret. And sometimes, your mind feel guilty for a long period of time that you cannot overcome. Those are the cases that we know we have vexations, but we don't know how to handle it. And Shifu said that, you know, for beginners, we handle vexations, it's just like, what is that called? Pulling out the weeds. We have weeds all over, right? We pull it out. And then we pull out two, and then found out there are five beside. And we keep pulling out, there are 10. So it's so frustrated, and sometimes we exhausted. You know, is it possible for us to become enlightened? Are we really Buddha? and we frustrated. And Shifu says that it's okay. And we just know that we start to practice and just keep going. Keep telling us to practice diligently and we will, we are on the right track. Don't get frustrated and don't turn back. Okay. So when we keep practicing, and we will get to the second level. 那我们能够这个这什么屡败屡战哈、哦，就是不气馁哈、哦、的继续拔草。那有一天我们会进入第二个层次。那第二个层次就是说，当烦恼升起来的时候呢，我们可以很明确的知道问题在哪里。然后要怎么处理它？很多时候的事情发生，我们根本都不晓得问题在哪里，然后处理的方法就不是很对。比如说有的人回家每天都被太太骂，就很烦恼，对不对？他知道他自己，他终于知道他刚开始的时候很生气，就跟他太太 理论吵，他不觉得他自己做错什么。然后后来呢，开始修行第一个 level， 他知道说，哎呀，吵架真是一个烦恼，干嘛要吵架呢？不要吵架了。好，但是要怎么样才能不吵架呢？那有的人就是说，就会来跟我们，很高兴来跟我们讲哦，他说，法师，今天我太太骂我，我就关呼吸，好，我也不回嘴，我就关呼吸，然后我太太就闭嘴了，反正我不回嘴，她就闭嘴了。觉得不错，好，哎，这是一种处理的方式哈，至少你不要再继续造口业嘛哈。但是为什么太太要骂你？问题点在哪儿呢？好，我们要解决的是问题的根本。所以当我们在处理解决问题的时候呢，要知道问题的根本。也许他就是很讨厌。假设啦，他有洁癖啦，他就是很讨厌你回来的时候袜子乱丢。身为一个修行人，既然我们的身口我们的行为造成别人的困扰，那我们就把袜子好好的放啊，这样太太就不会骂了，事情就解决了嘛。而不是说当他每我袜子继续照丢，然后当他骂我的时候，我就关呼吸，全身放松让他骂，好，这样两种处理方式啦哈。但是可能你最好的方式还是你改变你的生活习惯，不要让别人引起烦恼骂你啦。好，那这就是第二个层次，就是说你真的能够看到问题真实的地点，然后去改善它。那这个哈，我们刚刚举的例子是很小的。如果我们被什么被 lay off， 先生或太太有外遇，各式各样的问题都有它最原始的一个问题。如果我们是在那个结果上去跟他对抗，或是去跟他 fight， 这个哈、哦，就是比较属于比较，就是说，当下处理一下自己身心状况而已，不能解决真正的问题。真正到第二层次的时候，是一烦恼升起的时候，你可以马上看到问题点在哪里，然后能够适当的处理它。 The second level is when the vexation arises, you immediately know what's the reason, and then you can you know how to handle it. For exampleSometimes we have followers come to us and told us that, Vashi, I make progress. Today, my wife scold at me again. And this time, I just watch my breath and relax my body. I didn't talk back. And then, but eventually my wife shut up. The method works. I know how to practice now.But this is not the level I'm talking about here. Shifu said the second level is you have to know the reason, the real reason that causes the vexations. For example, why Your wife scold at you oftenly or every day. Maybe the reason is you, every time you come home, you just throw your socks everywhere, randomly. And unfortunately, your wife is a very neat person, so she just cannot tolerate that. And some people even put the socks on the table, dining table. I heard that. And they think, why, what's the problem? It's no problem. But the wife just cannot tolerate, right? So the the original reason that you will have fight every day is your behavior. So the best way to handle it is you change your habit. Put the socks in the laundry bag. And then your wife won't scold at you every day. And then you won't have any vexations. That's what we're talking about. Once the vexation come out, and you immediately know what the problem is, and then handle it in the right way. And I only give a very, very small case. The same strategy applies to if your boss lay off you. If your spouse have affairs with others, if people betray you, you know, immediately we have to know the original reason. Not to fight and debate on the effect, but go back to the causes and handle it with the causes, not, you know, fight with the effects. That's the second level of handle our vexations. 如果我们真的可以做到这样的话，就是说什么事情一起来的时候，我们马上可以找到回归到它的因，在因地上去处理它，这个时候呢，我们就会很珍惜在我们日常生活中发生的任何一个事件，如意的不如意的，我们都会珍惜它，因为它都是一个我们练习修行的机会，让我们能够当下去找到事情的因，然后去处理它。然后如果我们不断的练习，不断的练习去回归到它的因，而不是在果上去挣扎或是去处理的话，慢慢的慢慢的，我们会找到所谓的第一因。好，我们佛教讲的最原始的第一因是什么？也就是其实就是我们讲缘起性空那个缘起，有没有？那个最原始的地方，那我们就可以看到所谓的空性。那当然，那要就进入第三层次了哈。那第二个层次，至少说我们可以把我们日常生活说中所遇到的任何事情都当成修行的机会，那不管如意不如意，我们都会很高兴有这样的因缘让我们来修行，而且我们慢慢的长养我们的慈悲跟智慧，去圆满的处理这些事情。这时候呢，我们自己不会起烦恼，也不会给他人带来烦恼。 So if we can do that, everything goes to the causes. Once we have vexations, once we have unsatisfaction or dissatisfaction, we always go back to the origin of the causes and handle it with compassion and wisdom. And when we go back to our daily life, whatever happened to you, you will appreciate, because every event, every people, every thing is chance for you to practice. And if you can practice every time, go back to the causes, one day you will see the so-called conditional arising, the original causes. That's the ultimate principle of Buddhist, that we want to see the conditional arising, the first origin. And if we can do that, we can see the emptiness of our Buddha nature, and that we go to that, then we will upgrade to third level. And if we have the attitude to handle everything happen around us, then we will have less vexations, and we will not cause too much vexations to others either. 那第三个层次呢是什么？第三个阶段哈，当你修行到比较第三个层次的时候呢，是师父讲是烦恼升起一次而已，它就消失不见了。烦恼升起一次的时候呢，它就消失不见了。也就是说，当烦恼升起的时候，你就能够马上离开它。那我记得哈，你们有几个人参加过生活禅呢？生活禅里面有很丰富的内容。我记得住持法师在生活禅里面哈，曾经给我们练习一个方法哈。他说，当我们被欺骗、被陷害、被抛弃，好，就是的时候，有没有可能练习在你的感觉是没有被欺骗、被陷害、被抛弃，然后当下如实的去处理它？有没有听懂？我那时候听了好几次我才听懂的，意思是说，有人真的陷害你，他陷害你说你偷钱，你没有偷哦，但是人家说你偷钱，你会不会很生气？怎么可以陷害我呢？那明明就是陷害，然后你现在已经有陷害的感觉了，被陷害的感觉了，对不对？所以你这时候去处理，不管你修行有多么高，你处理的时候，你的心态是我被陷害了，我要用方法去还我清白，这时候你是有对立的。好，那住持法师讲是说，不管人家对你做什么事情，你根本就没有被陷害的感觉，但是人家说你偷钱的时候，你还是要说我没有偷，你不能说我没有偷，你怎么陷害我，你是坏人，不是这样，而是人家说你有偷钱，你还是可以说我没有偷，你还是可以用平常心、很温和的心去跟人家提出证据，甚至去上法庭。然后住持法师说更那个是说，如果你真的有一天你真的不能证明你是清白的，你可不可以很甘愿的去坐牢？意思就是说，你从头到尾你都没有被陷害的感觉，然后从头到尾你根本就没有偷钱，可是外在的事情呢，就是有人来告你偷钱，然后人家来帮你放到监狱里面去，你就换一个地方住就对了，然后你从头到尾没有起嗔恨心，没有被陷害的感觉，也就是你从头到尾根本就没有起烦恼。好，这境界很高，对吧？我们没有办法练习，我们练习了很久，但是还是不成功哈，因为我们的修行不够。The third level of practice is once the vexation come out, then it disappear. You don't have to generate the second thought, then the vexation disappear. So in other words,You observe the vexation and you detach right away. And how can we do that? I remember we have a Living Chan retreat at DDRC. Our abbot, we have a section to practice. Practice what? Practice think that we are set up cheating, betrayed by others, but we don't feel cheated, betrayed. We don't feel that way, but we still handle it. For example, if people accuse you, you steal money, which you didn't. Most of us will feel, I didn't! You set me up! I did not steal $1 million! Right? And you start to get against the environment, and people set you up, and you want to fight, and you want to get back, get back your reputation. I did not steal money. But what we need to practice is when people accuse you, when people really intended to set you up, you don't feel that you are set up by others. You used ordinary mind to handle it and say, I did not steal the money. And I can prove it. But if unfortunately you cannot prove that you are not guilty, then you have to have the attitude that people will set and put you in the present. And your mind is like, I accept, you put me in the present, even though I did not steal the money. In other words, when the event starts in the beginning to the end, the whole process, you did not generate vexations at all. You did not feel mistreatment. You did not feel that you are setting up by people. Your mind did not generate any affliction at all. But you still handle it, try your best to handle it. But if unfortunately that you cannot prove you are not guilty, you don't generate vexation either. Just take it as it is. That's the third level. It's kind of hard, but that's what Shifu talk about. Immediately detach your vexation at the first place, but still handle it. 那但是有没有人做到呢？还是有嘛，哈。举两个例子，举一个例子好了。我们的广清老和尚。他在寺院里面嘛，他因为受教育不高，然后又长得丑丑矮矮的，其实他在寺院里面常常被人家欺负的，好，就被他欺负的。然后有一天大家要陷害他，说他偷香油钱啊，他并没有反驳耶，他就说你说我偷钱，但是我还是说我没有，因为这是犯戒哦，对我们出家人来讲这是犯戒的事情。那一般的出家人会觉得说，诶，还我清白，你怎么这样，我是犯戒呢，怎么可以说我犯戒呢？可是他没有说什么，就是他没有偷。那当然大家僧团就会对他很多很多的，就是说不同的另眼相看啊什么，但是他就如如不动，照样的修行。然后他说他没有偷，好，点点点。可是后来事情是有澄清的。可是他的过程中，他从第一个时间，人家说他偷钱，到人家可能在他的枕头边发现到一包钱，到后来事情结束的当下，他都没有生起烦恼心。好，那这是。我们做不到了，可是我们可以装模作样，就是说至少不要发脾气嘛，假装我们已经修行很高，就是假装好，你说我偷钱，先不要生气，然后慢慢的看着因缘的变化，这样啊，你还是去 想办法做你该做的这样子。So, can anyone really do that? I give a most recent case is Master Guang Qing. Do you know him? Guang Qing? He is a very famous master in the recent generation that he, a lot of at least Chinese people know him, and he is, I think, very advanced practitioner. When he was still like a new monk in the temple in China, he was not educated person. And he's short and looks not good, not handsome guy. So, and so in the temple, usually, you know, people won't treat him very well. But he still practices. He chants Amitabha's name all the time. So there is one time people want to set him up. So I think they put a bag of donation money under his pillow and set him up, say that he stole money. And all the process, he did not say anything. And people start to look him, you know, in a strange way, say, how come you can break the precepts? Because for us, steal money is breaking the precepts. And, you know, in the whole monastery, it just bring a lot of blame to him. But from the beginning until the end, that people know that he did not steal the money, Master Guang Qing never generate affliction or want to fight for it. That's the way he practiced. So for us, we cannot do it yet, but we can pretend. You know, Sufu always encourage us to pretend. Pretend we like a Buddha or Bodhisattva. You know, when Bodhisattva will do this way, we pretend, at least outside, that we did not get angry. And we still handle things. At least we won't burst out our anger. And pretend that, you know, we know it, but we don't generate vexation, but we still handle it. Okay, that's the third level of how we handle vexation in the daily life. Yes.
What's this monk who, did you say he never said anything? He put the money under his, so he never tried to explain that.
Well, he did not defend. He just said that I did not steal the money. I don't know why the money is under my pillow.
He did say that. But see, I used to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Bill is a...
If you don't present a defense, mm-hmm. you're allowing society to continue in this unhealthy way. By not presenting a defense, can't you say that he was based, whoever it was who did this to you, those are the people.
Yeah. Pass the microphone so that everybody can.
Hi. This is the lawyer in me talking. It won't take too long. If you don't try to defend yourself when people do bad things to you in society, that's fine, and well, it's not fine, but what is fine is not allowing yourself to become vexed. I understand that aspect of it, and I'm 100% behind that. The idea is you don't get angry yourself. You don't get angry. What they did doesn't get inside your head and make you angry. But you live in the society, and if these people do this kind of thing to you, maybe they do it to other people too, right? Do you want to live in a society where people walk around doing that kind of thing all the time? Probably not. In fact, if you're a real bodhisattva, don't you have almost a duty to try to make your society a better place, which in some cases means if somebody's done something bad to you, you have to make that known to the public.
Yeah. Hmm? Thank you. Let me translate first. 所以 Bill 是一个律师，好，那他就提出来，他说如果真的是有这样不好的事情，就是陷害啊，哈，就是陷害人家偷钱这种事情发生，那在我们的社会里面，如果你不站起来 defend 你自己，就是不为你自己辩解的话，那这个对这个社会它就变成一个不好的例子，那这个社会就这个法律就不能执行了哈，因为这些做坏事的人呢，他其实也是在犯戒嘛。好，那这是一个很好的问题哈，所以我要用英文先解释一下。Okay, so I have to, I can rephrase my, explanation is the key point is that you still do and say what you have to, but you don't feel that you are set up. You see, when you defend, we use defend means you feel that you are set up.Because the attitude is defending. So the wordings and the attitude you show is different from, you don't feel you are set up, but this money, I did not take it, and I don't know why it's under my pillow. Is one way, and the other way is, I don't know who set me up. You know, I did not steal the money. Somebody got to, you know, your explanation will be very,If you are in the court, I believe, I saw some of the TV show that if the defendant use a lot of emotional, words, then sometimes the judge will be more, yes.Yeah. Yeah. Or you attack the other party, right? Sometimes.
Well, if you're just talking about the word you chose, defense, in the law in the United States, the word defense has a specific meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're accused of something, you're expected to defend yourself. That's the word that the law uses.
Yeah.
Now, they use it in a different sense than you are using it.But all I'm saying is that, and this is entirely possible, you can present a defense in court without being vexed.
Yeah.
That is saying, you are, if you're a really advanced practitioner, you could go into the court and say, no, this, what they're saying happened isn't what happened.
Yeah.
Try to present your position about what really happened. You can do everything you can do to try to make everybody
yes.
see what really happened.
Yes.
If you fail, if it doesn't work, you just accept that.
Yes.
I mean, if you're a really advanced practitioner, I understand that. It's your own mental state that you're defending primarily, but
yeah.
also you have an obligation to try to, you know, look, what if somebody was walking around murdering people in your neighborhood? And, I mean, I don't think a real bodhisattva just sits there and lets that happen and pretends it's not a negative thing.
Yeah, I think what you say is precisely what I'm trying to say is your attitude is not vexed, but you still have to do whatever you have to do. Yeah.
In the case of the murder, you committed a murder. The master did commit any wrong.
You mean you are murder or you...
Not someone who goes around.
I know the third level.
The attachment and the reaction is not so much for, because we know how many people were guilty and they were proven through the system, the court system, they were proven innocent.
Yeah, I know. But I know the third level is kind of hard to accept. 等一下，等我一下。 But, you know, that's why it's third level. I think it's more about our mind. But we still do it. Sometimes we do things without knowing our real attitude. And I think this one is try to clarify that we have the correct attitude first. That is no vexation first. So we detach from the vexation mind in the first place and still do the thing. Okay? The second level is you generate vexation and you clearly know that what it comes from. And so the third level is that you already know the mind, when it's moved, it's vexation. And you can keep your mind on moving, but you still do whatever you have to do. Okay?
胡适之啊，和那个外国的那，就他们那是哲学家，还有杜威哈，但是他们两个有一天就在看了一个甲虫，就说推一个东西到一个坡上去，那个一直推不上去，那个杜那个我们的胡适之就讲了，哦，这个甲虫好有毅力啊，一直推一直推，不停的推，杜威讲他这个甲虫太笨了，为什么不换一个方法去把这个东西挪上去？这是我们中心文化最大的不同。我们认为广清老和尚很了不起，可是外国人觉得太笨了，为什么不去为自己 against 辩护？哦，是这样的。Okay, let
me explain English to Chinese and Chinese to English. 刚刚 Bill 跟这位居士 What's your name? Yeah.
Basil.
Basil. Basil. Okay. What Bill and Basil 讲的就是说，他觉得在美国这个地方，就是说。 比如说你的邻居，你明明有坏人到你的邻居来，然后要谋杀了，对不对？他就是要谋杀啊，我们就是要去防止他，就是要告，就是要他如果真的杀人，就是要告他嘛，哈。就说以美国法令来讲，是基于一个就是维护社会安全的一个立场来讲，我们通常就是要去处理这件事情，不能像广清老和尚讲说他就不讲。 好，这样子或是不是主动的去防卫？那我其实 Bill 后来又讲了，他讲的就是说，就是说你到法庭里面去的时候，你的心不是起烦恼的心，你还是就是很心平气和的去跟这个判官讲说事情是这样这样发生的。好，但是如果真的是判官还是说你有罪，那你只能接受他。好，那这样的说法其实是跟师父的说法是一样的。 只是我要强调的是说，他在你烦，因为第二个烦恼是你产生烦恼，然后你去处理它原始的点是在哪里。到第三个层次的时候是根本你的心还要起烦恼的当下，有没有？他就你就已经认清他，然后你的心是保持不动的，但是你却有智慧的功能去处理它。好，这是没有违背的，只是说我们的内心并没有起烦恼。 说他害我了，或是他背叛我了，然后才去处理。因为我们常常在行为，我们的行为常常不晓得我们自己内心真正的心态是什么，然后只是在事项上去处理。那再到这个层次的时候，他是要解决我们心内心根本起烦恼的问题。 不让心里起烦恼，但是该做什么还是要做什么，所以是没有违背的。那刚刚 ，then we have a，你的英文名字是什么 ？Eva，Eva says that you know she thinks that it's a cultural problem. 好 ，for example，we have two famous people like famous people get together. One from West America, the other from China. They saw an insect pulling something up to the hill. An insect pulling something, maybe food or something, pulling up. And then Chinese will praise, wow, how diligent they are. Keep pulling back and forth, you know, fall down, back and forth. Keep pulling up, 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 and to fail, and again and then again. Chinese will praise the insect. But the Americans say, how stupid. You should change the method. You know, improve something. You can change method so that you can achieve your goal, not just repeating the same mistakes. That's the cultural thing. But I have to say, this is not cultural thing. This is, we have to go back to our mind, keep our mind in the original state, but still have the function of wisdom to handle things and has compassion with others. 那对我们这个经文上来讲，第三层次是非常非常不容易接受的，但是呢也很难做到。但是它最终的准则是说，我们的心随时保持在原始，也就是不动的状态。同时呢，我们还要有智慧的功能，来处理事情，然后要有慈悲的心来对待他人，这是非常不容易的。心不动，但是要有智慧跟慈悲的功能。Your mind is not moving, but you still have function of compassion and wisdom. That's what we are talking about here. You still have to do things. You still have compassion with others, even with your enemy. It's hard to swallow, huh? 那没有关系，所以师父说，其实我们刚开始的修行要一下子做到这个是不可能的，除非你是祖师再来了，善根深厚的人。所以我们要一步一步的开始在日常生活中修行，把佛陀教给我们的东西放在心里面，遇到什么事情可以用什么方法，可以怎么样练心，就 一个一个去练，然后练到最后是一件事情产生，它不会再发生了。像第二个层次有没有，它可能还会再发生，它比如说你太太骂你，你这样改了这个，可是你牙膏没有放好又被骂，然后再去换一个牙膏，你就一个一个改。但是对于第三层次的人来讲，他根本就是日常生活就不会让人家起烦恼了。好，这是这个原因。所以呢，师父说我们修行人应该像杯子一样，杯子里面装什么颜色的水，水倒掉之后，你的杯子还是透明的杯子，不会被改变。可是我们一般的凡夫像什么？像一块这个布，白布哈，红的墨水来就变红的，绿的变绿的，黑的变黑的，所有的烦恼来都吸到我们的心里面去，然后连别人的烦恼也吸到我们的身上，自己很烦恼，别人的烦恼也变自己的烦恼，就烦恼不已哈。那就是我们一般的凡夫。So, 师父 say that, you know, it's okay because we are all beginners. You cannot get to the third level in the beginning. So we can start from the beginning and diligently practice. And so, 师父 give an analogy, say, we practitioners should behave like a glass.You know, the glass, the transparent glass. If you have, I saw that we have the soda, different color. You pour different color of drink, then you see the color. But when you pour it out, you are still transparent and clear. That's our mind. When things come, we know. But for ordinary people like us, we are like this clothes.You know, blue ink, we become blue. Red ink, we become red. We have so many colors in our mind. And on top of that, we grab others' vexation, become our own vexation. And we just vex all the time. So, that's Shu Fu say, we have to...treat us like a glass, always transparent and clear. So in daily life, there are two benefits. First, you will still have keep the interest of practice. The second, it will remind you that you are a practitioner. 所以在日常生活中它有两个功能，就是说第一个是你会保持对修行的热忱，第二个呢，你会提醒自己是一个修行人。那下接下来是要讲精进修行。那师父常常鼓励我们，日常修行非常重要，但是呢，如果没有精进修行的话，我们没有办法体验到真正的禅发喜，真正的禅位，所以一定要去精进的修行。那这个精进的修行，所谓的 retreat 呢，它的原始来的地方呢，是因为印度的时候不是有雨季嘛，雨季三个月的雨季，那在雨季的时候呢，所有的虫啊卵啊都会在田地上，如果出家人去托钵啊，就会杀生，然后而且那个老百姓也没有太多的食物，所以呢就干脆就结下安居，大家就在道场里面三个月精进的禅坐修行，然后诵戒，然后彼此之间纠正自己的行为。所以我们在法鼓山有以前，如果是禅期结束以后，通常我们一般人会聚在一起，然后分享心得，还有就是彼此之间日常生活有发现到彼此的一些行为不适当的，我们会提出来大家互相检讨。当然你要有那个雅量，别人讲你即便他不是真的，你还是要能够听得下去，所以这是一种修行。那通常在经文里面他建议啊120天啊100天80天，那其实对我们来讲目前比较不可能，但是呢就是说即便是7天的一个 retreat 也好，是我们一个精进用功的时间，那师父也建议我们一年之中至少要能够去一次精进的修行。 So next the intensive retreat? Daily life practice is very important, but 师父 said that if you don't attend the intensive retreat, you cannot really get the flavor of Chan practice. In the retreat, we sort of let go of a lot of daily chore, you know, a lot of phone calls, email, iPad, you know. They'll keep... yeah. We have iPad always keep replying email, you know. We get rid of all the things just with your method. When you can practice diligently, then, you know, you might get a chance to really taste the flavor of Chan. Okay, so you can have direct experience about what Buddha said about your body and mind. we call it, Sanskrit call it Vasa. You've heard of that? Vasa? It originally come from Buddha's age in India, that there are 3 months raining season. So during the raining seasons, all the insects and their eggs and worms will come out. If all the monastics still go out for the alms, then we will kill those sentient beings. So Buddha say, okay, during these 3 months, we do Vasa. We do intensive meditation. And we practice together, we chant the precepts together, and then we sort of share our experience and also correct our behavior that we observe from others. So it's kind of group practice. Sometimes we make some mistake we cannot see, and people see it and people remind you. So that's very good practice for practitioners. However, you got to have an open mind, you know, to accept whatever people say to you, because it might not be true. You can explain, but, you know, keep your mind moved. That's the practice, group practice that Sifu encouraged us to do. 所以呢这个结下是非常重要的，那也鼓励大家有机会的时候还是要参加我们的精进禅修。 then 那接下来要问的是说，那三个方法哪一个最好？大家还记得哪三个方法吗？色摩他、萨摩波迪跟禅那。那色摩他呢？它就是修止，那个心如镜中如镜啊，修止。那萨摩波迪呢？它是止观等持，就好像那个不动的大地还可以生长万物哈。那禅那呢？它就是直接进入无心的一种方法。那哪一种最好 ？OK, so I here want to emphasize that you know if you can afford time wise, you can arrange at least attend one intensive retreat every year. That will be very good for your practice. And next question is, which method is best? Do you remember?No method is the best method. The method of no method. Okay, we talk about samatha, practice stealing the mind. Just your mind is like a mirror. And the second is samabhadhi, is samatha and vipassana at the same time.So it's like a moving ground, but it can still grow plants. Okay. The third one is called dhyana. Dhyana is the method that goes directly to the no mind state. Okay. That's what you said, the method of no method. So which one is the best? Third one? No? The third one is the best? Agree?Depends on causes and conditions. Let's see what Buddha said about these three methods. 我们来看看哈，佛怎么讲的哈。他说第一个哈，色摩他修行是修止心，对不对？当你能够修成的时候哈，它有三个层次啦哈。第一个层次就是说，当你修止修成功的时候。你可以看见自己的心念一个一个一个接一个一个一个接一个。第二个层次呢，你可以看到这个世界的每一个众生的心念一个接一个一个接一个。第三个层次是你可以知道所有的世界三千大千世界所有的众生的每一个心念一个接一个一个接一个。第二个方法三摩波迪哈，止观同时，对不对？所以当你心止到一种地步哈，如果我们讲波长，心止到一种地步的时候，只要有人有一波动，你就马上可以知道。那你在修止的时候，就 depends 你的心的那个不动的程度，你从你自己的一直到所有世界的众生的心念，你都可以感受得到。那在三摩波迪呢，它跟止的部分跟这个色摩他是一样的，可是它多了一个观，对不对？多了一个观慧。那师父强调，这个观慧最主要是来自于对众生的慈悲之心。这个对大圣修行者来讲是非常重要的，就是有那个慈悲心。那个慈悲心是一种动能，但是它不会影响你的心止，所以你还是会 go through 那三个层次。的同时你又知道众生需要帮助，有没有？我们就知道只是知道而已，对不对？那有时候知道太多会起烦恼的哈，是吧？他心通啊，可能会 get crazy 哈。如果我们没有修行有他心通的话，很烦恼的哈。那三摩波提就是跟修的层次跟前面止观止是一样的，只是在里面你的慈悲心是一直增加的。好，那第三个禅那呢，哇，那就跟止是一样的， 第一个层次哈，你知道自己的心念一个接一个，对不对？不止如此，你知道每一个心念的生住意灭，生住意灭，生住意灭。好，前面你只知道一个念头，一个念头，一个念头嘛，哈。那这个时候你已经知道每一个念头的生住意灭，生住意灭，生住意灭。第二层次，你知道每一个众生，这个世界每一个众生的生住意灭，生住意灭。然后你知道所有世界宇宙的所有众生生住意灭，生住意灭，禅那。Okay, let's talk about the method first before we decide which one is the best. Okay, samatha. I explained it before. It's still the mind, right? And what you can achieve. Three levels, Shifu say. First level, if your mind come to certain level, you will know your mind, your thought. One thought after your mind is one thought after one thought after one thought.Thought. Second level, you can know everyone in this world, mind, one thought after one thought. Third level, you can know the whole universe, whole, every sentient being's mind is connected one thought after one thought. In other words, there are three different levelsof calmness of your mind or stillness of your mind. It's just like if you learn physics, you know, our mind can be a wave. You know, if your mind get to a certain level and if there are like, you know, wave come out, you know. And you have to be very, very calm. The thing is, the mind is just unmoving. Then you can know all the moving things.Second method, Samabhati, is Samatha and Vipassana at the same time. And what this method can achieve is pretty much similar to Samatha. What difference is there is a body-mind. So in other words, different levels, but you have different levels of body-mind as well. You know people's thoughtBut you also know people's need. Okay? That's your compassion mind and body mind. So your mind is unmoving, and yet you know people is in need. The third level is dhyana. Again, the same three levels. But first level,you know your thought, thought by thought, but you also know each thought's arising, abiding, changing, and perishing. Four faces. When things exist, there are four faces. A formation, a form, right? And it continues to stay there.Just like this cup and table, right? It form and then it stay here. And then it will perishing. It start to get rotten, you know. And then it disappear. Perishing. Broken, you know, thrown away, scorned. So everything exists has four phases. Formation, abiding, changing, and perishing. Dhyana practice is you know your thoughts, every thought's four faces of each thought and every of the thought, you know all these faces. Second level, you know this and others. Third level, you know everyone in the, every universe, everyone minds four faces. Is that complicated enough? But you know, for those practitioners, it's spontaneously known.You don't need to spend any effort because the mind is unmoving. You just know. And that's our original function of mind. And because we are in vexation all the time, So we kind of did not know we have this function. 那其实呢，这个能力看听起来很难，对不对？做不到，还这么费劲啊！我连要看我自己的心，我都要花很大的力气。可是这边讲的是，这是我们本来具足的能力。我们知道这些事情是自然而然而知的，这是我们本性本质具足的能力，只是因为我们的心都处于烦恼之中，我们根本不晓得我们有这样的能力。所以借由日常的修行，把烦恼逐渐的去除之后，我们才有可能在精进修行的时候，或是有一天能够见到我们本来心的功能。 And lastlyNo matter what method you choose, there is one common thing that we have to remember that Buddha said. No matter what you practice, if it's not your direct experience, don't trust it. We may hear a lot of Buddhist principles, Buddhist sutras, you know, like this sutra, we have so many sutras, we have so many Buddha's teaching. You believe in it, and you practice it, but if you do not have the direct experience, these are just, what's that? Flowers in the sky, or it's the money in other people's pocket.You know money, but it's in other people's pocket. You cannot use it. Only it's your direct experience, you know, and you can use your mind. You can function your mind correctly. What all Buddha say? Buddha say, I didn't say a word. Right? In Diamond Sutra, Buddha say, I didn't say a word. That's what it means. If it's not from your direct experience,Don't trust it. You know, like people tell you, when you meditate 10 years, you can get to a certain level of something. Don't trust it. You have to practice it. Maybe you can go higher. You have to trust only your direct experience. 那佛陀讲说，这三个方法不管是哪一个，所有的原的则就是说，非彼所闻一切境界终不可取。如果不是与来自于我们直接的体悟，不要相信它。好，我们可能听闻佛法，佛陀讲了很多很多的事情给我们听啊，我们也相信说我们有一天会成佛。可是那就好像是别人口袋里的钱也不能用，你知道有很多钱，但是在别人的口袋里面你就是没有办法用它。所以呢，除非是你真正直接的体验，那你才可能将你的心的功能发挥到真正的功能，不然你的心会放在你的烦恼上，而不是在你的真心，就是真正的佛心它应该发挥的功能之上。所以这是佛陀给我们的提醒。但是那到底哪一个方法最好呢？在经文里面呢，佛陀建议说，好啦，你try some body 不 work 换什么 什么他不 work 换 some body， 再不 work 换禅那，那再不 work 呢再换一个，换到有一个 work 为止。但是师父说，那个色摩他是比较基本的，好，就是说师父建议我们从色摩他，在三摩波底，在禅那，我们修行一定要有色摩他的基础。师父建议我们从色摩他开始，但是佛的意思是告诉我们说，这三种方法都可以让我们走上成佛之路，不是说。色摩他比较低等，所以他没有办法成佛，而是三种方法都可以让我们成佛。 那以一个修行的角度来讲，对我们一些凡夫来讲，最好就是说先从基本功开始做起。So, which is the best? In the sutra, Buddha say, you know, you can try samatha first. If it doesn't work, then go to samabhadhi. And if it didn't work either, go to dhyana. And you found out it didn't work either, then come back to samatha. You just take turn, you know, until one eventually works for you. But Shifu in the book say that he recommend we start from samatha, still the mind first, because that's all the basis for all the practice. If we can practice samatha good enough, then we can move up to samabhadhi or even to dhyana. And Shifu say what Buddha says means every one method can lead us to the complete enlightenment. It's not like samatha is beginners, so we cannot get enlightenment from this method. Every method we can get enlightenment. But from Shifu's experience, he recommends we start from samatha first. 然后呢，啊，我们修啊修啊，修了这半天，怎么还不能入门呢？他是经文上说，如果我们心正想心欲求道不得成就，是因为有游习业障，当请忏悔。我们三个方法练来练去，练来练去都没有办法有成就。那经文上说，最大的原因就是因为往昔业障没有消，所以呢要忏悔。那所以可见忏悔对于禅修者是非常重要的。那这一本这个 chapter 哈，圆觉菩萨的这个部分呢，是曾经被我们的悟达国师哈写成三昧水忏，就是我们元旦要拜的三昧水忏哈。那悟达国师嘛哈，他以前是什么元盎，汉朝的时候是元盎，那不是杀曹错腰斩东市吗？因为这个恨呢，曹错的冤魂不散，跟了他十辈子。那因为元盎呢，他接下去的十辈子都是高僧，持戒严谨的高僧，所以他没有办法下手。那一直到他变成悟达国师的时候，他因为皇帝送他一个沉香座，他只起的一念的慢心哦，一念而已的慢心，他就趁虚而入，变成一个人面疮，对不对？然后就开始了他忏悔的过程。最后他为了分享给后世的人，他就用圆觉经的这个修正要义编写了一个十悲三昧水忏。那它内容就是告诉我们说，经文上常常跟我们讲，我们身口意念所会犯的错误通通要忏悔。好，那这是一个忏悔的一个对禅修者的一个重要性。 So no matter what method we use, the sutra says that if we really want to practice diligently and we do practice diligently but it never works, we never get into the door, we never achieve anything, why is that? It is because we have too much karma from the past that we have to repent. And from this sutra, we have, in Tang Dynasty, we have an emperor's teacher called Master Wu Da. He wrote a very famous called Compassionate Samadhi Water Repentance that we are going to have on January 1st. It's from this sutra of complete enlightenment. The story of this repentance is Master Wu Da was an officer in Han Dynasty, and because of the political issue that he accused the other officers to death, and he was cut from the West, cut in half in public. So that officer just cannot let go. He followed, his spirit follow him 10 lives. But Master Uda was, in the past 10 lives, he was monk, very diligent practice monk. He uphold the precept very diligently. So this, his spirit, the other officer's spirits cannot touch him, cannot hurt him. But in Tan Banist, when he become Master Uda, he is still very successful, very high level of practitioner. That's why he become emperor's teacher. The emperor give him a very precious chair made with the very special wood. And he only generate one thought of arrogance. Only one thought of arrogance, I'm good. Then the spirit get into his body and become a face, talking face on his knees. Very painful. And then then he went through a process of repentance and he got cured. So he want to write it down and help all the practitioners after him that repentance is very important. And all the content come from the sutra of this chapter. You know, why we have past karma, how we can repent our body and mind and thought, and body and mind and speech, so that we can have a clear karma, pure karma to practice. So repentance is very important. And lastly, I would like to bring up a question. When we repent, we ask forgiveness from our past enemy or people we hurt, right? But do we forgive others? Do we forgive others that hurt us? We ask forgiveness from people that we hurt, but do we forgive others that hurt us? And if we look deep down, look deeply, most of our vexation generate from the attitudes that that we are hurt by others, and from not forgiving others. Okay, even they made mistakes. Okay, so in the last paragraph, Sutra says that if we want to practice diligently, we have cut off like, dislike, jealousy, flatter. We have to keep our mind in the ordinary mind without discrimination. We forgive others. We ask forgiveness for others. We have to keep our mind in the very clear, clean, unmoving mind. We have to repent all the karmic obstructions. 那最后呢，我要就是。 我们知道忏悔很重要，但是我们带一个功课回家想一想，就是我们常常忏悔，希望呢，我们以前呢，我们对不起的人可以给我们宽恕，对不对？但是我们宽恕他人吗？如果我们扪心自问，常常去反省自己，其实我们大部分的烦恼来自于不原谅他人。 别人做对不起我们的事情，我们是不原谅他人的。那我们去反省，我们是不是可以常常练习原谅他人，包括原谅人家来讨债啊？那如果我们可以常常练习，就像这个经文最后跟我们分享的，就是说，真要练习的话呢，是要先断憎爱、嫉妒、残取。 求生上心，也就是说，我们的心不要有讨喜欢不喜欢好的坏的，嫉妒他人好，或是你求好心切哈，这些东西都 不要，让我们的心就是回归到平常心，一个非常稳定的平常心。那这样的话呢，我们的修行才会把一些业障给断除掉，然后修行才会有进步。好，那今天呢，就是说讲到这里，就是最后就是我们这章最主要的是跟我们日常生活非常有关系的哈。那也建议大家有机会看一看这个文章，里面还有很多的一些比喻哈，那是我们可以在日常生活中常常提醒自己的。 OK, so I have to conclude my talk here today. If you have chance, please go back to Shifu's book. There are more stories and analogies and sharing and teachings for us, especially for our daily life. And my next talk, the last talk, will be talk about what merits we can get from practice. And when we practice,Don't lose our hope. Okay, 那下一次我就要讲的是，我们修行到底有什么功德？好，不管怎么样修行都有功德。虽然我们有时候很受挫，但是不要失去对自己的希望跟信心。Okay, so that's end the talk here. Hold on, 回向transfer the merit. Chinese first. 愿以此功德庄严佛净土，上报四重恩，下济三途苦，若有见闻者悉发菩提心，尽此一报身，同生极乐国。 May the virtuous merits adorn and glorify the pure land of the BuddhasUpwardly, we repay the four layers of gratitude. Downwardly, we alleviate the sufferings of the three destinies. May those who see and hear the Dharma generate Bodhi mind, exhausting this body of retribution. May we be born in the land of supreme bliss. Thank you.
Can you stand up, please?